You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
What we see there is a group of people who are not handling their anger very well. Would you agree with me? Now, just in a moment of confession, I want to confess out front, get this out in the open, all right? I don't always handle my anger appropriately either. I just want you to know it. I'm constantly in a process of flushing that out in an appropriate way. But I'm sure that I'm not alone there. Would you agree with me? I mean, how many of us here today would say, you know what, Dwight, I'm going to agree with you. I haven't always handled my anger in an appropriate way. Huh? Anybody here courageous enough? I see some of you. You're very courageous. The rest of you are lying, okay? And we're glad that you're here because you know what? This is a great day to be at New Point because we're going to learn some things today that I believe that's going to help all of us. And it's going to help you, it's going to help me in how we can handle our anger in an appropriate way. And so I want to give a shout out to all of our campuses, those in Millersburg and Dover and Worcester and Canton and Coshocton. We're glad that you're here today. And by the way, let me just say, hey, pick up the anger book. I know some of you got ticked off and were angry and mad last week because everybody in the first service got it, and you didn't get one in the second service. So I hope that doesn't happen today, but you can go to Amazon.com and you can pick up one if you want. But I encourage you to get one. It will help you in moments like that, all right? So let me encourage you to pick up the workbook. So here's what we're learning, all right? In Proverbs, it tells us that if you cannot control your anger, if you cannot handle your anger, you are as helpless as a city without walls, open to attack. Now, what happens is many times when we are angry, we think we're powerful. We think that we're large and in charge, right? I mean, I've been there. I mean, the adrenaline gets going and your mind starts clicking. But that's not what Proverbs would say. Proverbs would say, Dwight, you might think that you're in a position of strength and power, but really you are helpless as a city without walls. Now, last week what we learned, and if you weren't here, let me encourage you to download the podcast. We learned that walls represent two things. One is protection from the enemy, and the second one is perspective. That you can climb up on that wall and you can look for miles and you can be able to see what's happening out there. And so what the proverb is saying is that we're helpless because we're not in a position of being protected. We're not in a position of where we have perspective. And so today what we want to look at is how do I handle this powerful emotion called anger. Now, let me share this with you, and this is from the workbook, okay? Anger is an emotion that is common to every person. Because we are imperfect people in an imperfect world, we are guaranteed to regularly encounter this emotion. Wow. So this is something that I deal with. This is something that you deal with. You know, I never have understood couples who say we never get angry with one another. I'm thinking, okay, so you lie to one another. All right, so let's work on that first, and then maybe you'll come back and begin to see that you do get angry with one another. Because it's an emotion that all of us encounter, and we will continue to encounter it. It's a God-given emotion. God himself gets angry. And so we need to be able to learn how to handle it in a way that's appropriate and that is constructive and not destructive. Now, Paul writes this in Ephesians. He says, in your anger, do not sin. So basically acknowledging that we're going to get angry, but he says, don't sin. He says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Basically, what he is saying is put a limit to it. Put a limit to it. He goes on, and do not give the devil a foothold. You see, what happens is when I get angry and I don't put a limit to it, what happens is then I open the door for the devil to work in my life. Because I'm without protection. I'm helpless. I don't have perspective. And so what we have to understand is it's very, very, very important that we learn how to handle our anger so we don't sin and so that we don't give the devil a foothold in our marriage, in our relationship with our children, in our relationship with our friends, in our relationship with the people that we work with. Now, here's what I want us to understand and I want us to get today. And again, I want to use a quote from the workbook. When anger is expressed inappropriately, it not only fails to achieve its goal, it hinders us from connecting effectively with others. Wow. So basically what that is saying is that my anger may bring about short-term success, but in the long run, I lose. I lose. Now, anger is okay, and anger can accomplish good things, okay, if it's expressed appropriately, not inappropriately. You know, matter of fact, you can have a great church because somebody gets angry. All right, we're angry with the fact that church is declining. And you know what? I think that it's the hope of the world. Or it can cause great marriages. You can be angry with the fact that hey, you know what? We want to be able to have a great marriage, a great business. But anger is like water. It can quench your thirst. It can be very, very helpful. Or you can drown in it. And so what happens is we have to learn how to be able to handle this powerful emotion called anger. So let me give you some ways in which we can begin to process and work. Here's the first one. I need to realize my unresolved anger. I need to realize my unresolved anger. And you might say again here today that you're not angry. Well, let's do a little fact check on that, all right? Anybody here frustrated? That's a form of being angry. How many here are irritable? Okay? That's a form of anger. How many of us get annoyed with somebody or with the people in our life? That's a form of anger. How about fretting? How about sarcasm? Those will let you and I know that probably we have some unresolved anger in our life. How about depression? You see, one of the causes of depression is when we repress our anger. We repress it. We push it down. We pretend that we're not angry. We pretend that we're not ticked off. We pretend that we're not mad. And so what happens is we push it down, and now we're depressed. But what happens is what we have done is we've grown up in a society, or maybe even the church, of where it's more spiritual to say I'm depressed than to say I'm angry. Y'all right on that one? I mean, we can handle if somebody's depressed. We just don't want to handle somebody who's angry. Because you know what we say? Oh, you shouldn't be angry. Really? What did we just read? In your anger, do not sin. It's okay to be angry. We just need to learn how to be able to express it appropriately. Now, Job tells us this. He says, you are only hurting yourself with your anger. And so we end up hurting ourselves if we allow anger to go unchecked in our life. And so we have to realize the unresolved anger in our life. Because it does serious damage to us emotionally, physically, relationally, and spiritually. So that's the first step that we need to take in handling our anger. Because we live in an imperfect world with imperfect people, and we're going to encounter this emotion on a daily basis. 24/7, 365, all right? So this is important. Here's the second thing. We need to resolve to manage it. not only realize the unresolved anger that we have in our life, but once we realize it, then we need to make a commitment to resolve it. And what I mean by that is we need to begin to say, I can handle my anger. I can control my anger. And we need to start realizing that it is something that we can do. For you and I to say, you know what, I just can't control my anger, is a lie. You're believing a lie. You see, you have far more control over your anger than what you realize. I mean, have you been there? Probably. Have you been in a conversation with somebody and you're very angry, it gets heated, might be with your spouse, might be with a kid, and the phone rings. And what happens is instantly you what? Instantly you change. Instantly you change. Hello, Dwight. How you doing? I'm doing good. Yeah? Uh-huh. And what happens is we instantly what? Change. Have you ever done it driving? You know, you come up behind somebody and you are ticked and you're saying, dude, don't you know the speed limit? You're going 10 miles too slow here. And so you go around them and you're furious, and then you realize it's somebody from New Point. And it has an impact on you. It has effect. And so what happens is we have to come back and we have to understand that, you know what? I can control my anger. If I really want to, I can change. And anger can be managed. You see, Proverbs tells us this. It says, a fool gives full vent to his anger. So here's what happens, okay? And by the way, I've played a fool before, okay? But here's a fool. I just got to get this stuff off my chest. All right? That might be an indication that somebody in front of you is going to be a fool, okay? Because he says here, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. The word there, keep, lets us know that it's possible. That what happens is, I don't have to fly off the handle. I don't have to explode. And that when I do get angry, I get angry because of a deliberate choice. And so when I say resolve my anger, then what I'm saying is, you know what? I'm going to predetermine in my mind and in my heart that I'm not going to blow up. I'm not going to mishandle my anger. And by the way, you and I have to decide this before the adrenaline starts running. We have to decide this before our muscles start getting tense. And let me tell you one of the ways in which I've tried to practice this, okay? I mean, I've gone into meetings before, and I've told God, I'm going to put on the apron of humility. And I'm asking you here, you know I feel very emotional about this. I feel very strong about this. And I'm going to resolve in my mind that this is how I want this to be. And this is how I want to be able to represent it. And so what happens is we have to resolve in our mind that, hey, you know what? I'm going to handle my anger in this situation in an appropriate way. Proverbs chapter 22 tells us this: keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. And so what happens is one of the ways in which we resolve to handle our anger is not only something that we choose for ourselves, but there may come a time of where you have to choose to remove yourself from other people. Y'all all right on that one? It's called establishing boundaries. And to be able to say, hey, you know what? I just can't go there with you. Because if I go there with you, then what happens is it's not going to help me. It's not going to benefit me. It's going to end up hurting me in the long run. And so the first thing that we need to do is we need to realize unresolved anger, and then I need to resolve to manage it. I need to make a decision in my heart and in my mind. Let me give you the third way in which we can handle our anger. We need to remember the cost. We need to remember the cost. The cost of what? of not handling our anger appropriately. And when I remember the cost of not handling my anger appropriately, what happens is it gives me motivation to want to be able to control my anger and to be able to handle my anger. And what happens is you and I will be less likely to explode and mishandle our anger if we know that it's going to cost us something. Again, back to Proverbs. Here's what Proverbs would say. A hot-tempered man gets into what? All kinds of trouble. You see, it costs a lot when you and I mishandle our anger. What happens is whenever you lose your temper, whenever I lose my temper, whenever I mishandle my anger, there's always something that I lose. Matter of fact, you know what? I would encourage you to write that down. I always lose when I lose my temper. And you might say, well, Dwight, what do I lose? Well, you might lose your reputation. You might lose the respect of other people. You might lose your health. Because when I don't handle my anger properly, then what happens? It affects me physically. And so you have a lot to lose. You have a lot to lose. And we need to come back and remember the cost. You see, it says this right here in Proverbs. Hot tempers cause arguments. And so what happens is you will find yourself in constant turmoil over and over and over again. And it will cost you dearly. Some of us know the cost of losing our family or the cost of losing our marriage because we've never got a handle on our anger. Proverbs will say this, the fool who provokes or angers his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. Wow. You know anybody that their anger has cost them their kids? It's cost them their family. It's cost them their marriage. You see, there's always a price to pay for you and me when we mishandle anger. Let me give you the fourth one. It's this. We need to reflect before responding. We need to reflect before responding. And this is very, very important. We need to be able to hit the pause button. And we need to be able to just stop for a moment. And we need to be able to reflect. Proverbs 29:11 says this, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man, what? Waits and lets it grow cool. You see, there's something about you and me reflecting. And what we need to reflect on may be, why am I angry? You know, we came back and we said that there's four causes of anger. One is hurt. So maybe I need to ask myself, why am I hurting? Why do I feel hurt here? We know another cause of anger is fear. Why am I afraid? We know another one is when we feel violated. We feel that we've been wronged or cheated. What is that about? And we know the other one is frustration. And so what we need to be able to do is we need to be able to reflect, because what happens is anger is a secondary emotion. There's something else going on in my life. There's something else going on in your life. I feel threatened. I feel fearful. I feel insecure. And so I need to be able to come back, because the fact of the matter is we get angry when our needs are unmet and our expectations are not what? Fulfilled. And so I need to be able to hit the button and to be able to say, okay, Dwight, why are you feeling this way? What's the real issue? What's the real problem? And not just let it fly off the handle. And so he says here, a wise man waits. He thinks through. He puts his mind in gear before he puts his mouth in gear. And he reflects. Now, Ephesians tells us this. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Okay? And so basically what he is saying here is this, is that we need to put a limit to it. And so though we need to be able to to wait and think through, we need to also have a limit to it. Now, one of the things that Patty and I have tried to practice, okay, because there's times that she wants to deal with something, and you know what? I don't want to deal with it. And so one of the things that we've tried to practice in our family is, okay, we don't have to talk about it now, but we need to talk about it before we go to bed. And so what that does is that gives me time to be able to think through and the process, and it gives her time to be able to think through and to be able to process and maybe just cool down a little bit so that we're more logical and we're not just talking out of sheer what? Emotions. Because when you and I speak out of sheer emotions, basically what we're doing is we're putting gas on the fire. And so when he says here, don't let the sun go down on your anger, basically what he is saying is, yeah, you know, you can wait for a while, but don't be waiting until next week or next month. That's way, way, way too long. And so what we need to do is we need to reflect on why we're angry. Let me give you another proverb here. A person's wisdom yields patience, and it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. To overlook an offense. And so why is that? Because we're imperfect people and we live in an imperfect world. And so it's to your glory to overlook an offense. Because the fact of the matter is, we're all in a position of where we can get offended every day. Every single day. Matter of fact, anger goes right along with being insecure. And insecure people are constantly being offended. And so what happens is it stirs up the anger in us. And so we need to reflect before responding. We need to do that. Now, I heard about a guy who was talking about his wife, and he said to her, he says, honey, he said, I don't understand you. I can't figure out why you handle your anger so much better than me. Because when I get angry with you and I say unkind words, you never seem to fight back. And I just don't understand why you never fight back. I don't understand how you can control yourself. How do you do that? And she said, whenever you get angry at me and you start saying unkind words, I just go and I clean the toilet. And he said to her, you're going to have to help me on that. How does cleaning the toilet help you deal with your anger? And she said, I use your toothbrush. You know, what I would say is that's probably not releasing anger appropriately, okay? That's basically passive aggressive. That would be talking to somebody and say, I'm not really angry. I just get even. And so we need to be able to come back and we need to be able to reflect on our anger. Why am I angry? And when we do that, what happens is it allows us to go to this next one, and that is to release my anger appropriately. You see, once I reflect on why I'm angry, because I'm hurt, because I'm frustrated, because I'm fearful, because I feel like I have been violated, what happens is once you're there, then you're in a position to be able to handle this anger in an appropriate way, because now you can address the real issue. Now you can be able to be specific. Back to Paul. Paul says this in Ephesians. He says, if you become angry, don't let your anger lead into sin. Now, how do you do that? Well, you reflect. You come back and you say, okay, why am I angry? Is it because I'm hurt? Is it because I'm frustrated? Is it because I'm battling fear? Why am I angry? He goes on to say this, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every other form of malice. Now, here's what we need to understand. If you and I are going to respond and we're going to release my anger appropriately, we have to do a number of things here. We have to get rid of all bitterness, all rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So you know what that means? I have to practice forgiveness. I have to practice forgiveness. I will never be able to release my anger appropriately if I have unforgiveness in my heart. Because here's what I believe. We usually don't express our anger to the people that really has made us angry. You know, we do it to people that we feel safe with, or we feel more powerful than. And what Paul is saying is, he says, in your anger, do not sin. Let me tell you how you don't sin in your anger. What happens is you keep short accounts with people. You get rid of all bitterness, all rage, all anger. And you know what? For some of us, you ready for this? We need to go back a few years, because some of us were hurt as a child. Some of us were frustrated as a child. Some of us lived in fear as a child. And what happens is we've never fully dealt with that. And so now we're just an angry adult. Used to be an angry kid. But now we're an angry adult. And maybe what dad didn't do, or what dad did, or what mom didn't do, or what mom did, is still affecting us today. And so we've got kind of an edge to us. And so we see our mom, we see our dad, somebody does something, and we see our mom there. And we just say, hey, you know what? I'm bigger now. I'm stronger now. I don't have to put up with this crap. Or you see your dad there. And what happens is, what he is saying is, get rid of all of that. Get rid of all of that. And here's what I would challenge us to do, okay, if you really want to do that. I would challenge you to ask God to search your heart and just say, who is it in my life that I need to forgive? And have a pad. Not a sheet of paper, a pad. Because you know what? He'll start bringing people up in your mind who you're annoyed with, who frustrate you, who you get sarcastic with, who you avoid. And all of those are anger signs. And what I would encourage you to do is to be able to identify what they took from you. Because the reason why we get angry is because somebody's hurt us. Somebody's frustrated us. Somebody has made us feel fearful, and identify what they took from you and name it, and then grieve over it, and then release them. And I'm telling you, if you will do that, I've done that. I think we all need to do that every so often, because we live with a group of imperfect people in an imperfect world. And when I do that, I find no matter where I'm at on the Richter scale, with my anger, I find that, you know what? It drops. It drops. He goes on to say this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, what he says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Here's what I want you to understand, okay? And this is what I'm trying to grow in and learn. You can be kind and compassionate and still deal with the problem. We can still be kind and compassionate and be firm. We can be kind and compassionate and still hold our ground. That's what he's saying here. Because he says, in your anger, do not sin. So always be kind, always be respectful, always be compassionate. And in doing so, what happens is you and I can begin to release our anger in an appropriate way. And he says this: forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Here's what I believe, folks. Forgiven people forgive other people. And so when I realize how much of God's forgiveness that I need, then what happens is it enables me and empowers me to be able to forgive other people. And when I live in a state of forgiveness, I find that I'm able to handle my anger in a much better way. Let me give you the last two. Number six is to retrain my mind. I need to retrain my mind. Here's what I mean by that, okay? You have to retrain the way in which you think. The way in which you think. Paul would say it like this in Romans chapter 12. He says, do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world. We just saw that on the video. That's how the world responds, okay? I've asked you, do you think that we live in an angry society? I think all of us have agreed, yes. Why? Because that is the behavior and that is the custom of this world. And Paul is saying, don't copy them, because anger is a learned way to respond to things. And so he says here, do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world. He goes on to say, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way in which you think. Wow. The way in which you think. Think about who? Think about God. Think about yourself. Think about how you're going to respond. You see, you and I cannot act inconsistently with how we think. And so we have to be able to come back and we have to be able to say, okay, God, I don't want to copy the way of the world. I want to be able to think as you think, because you handle anger appropriately. You're holy. You're righteous. And I want to be like that. And so I need to retrain my mind. And you say, how do you do that? Well, let's look at what the psalmist writes. Those who love your law, that would be scripture, that would be the Bible, have great what? Peace. They're at peace. And nothing will cause them to be hurt in their spirit. Woo-woo. Uh-oh. So what makes us angry? When people don't meet our needs. What makes us angry? When people don't fulfill our expectations. Wow. And what he is saying is, if we love God's word, if we love God's law, then we'll be at peace because we know who's in charge. We know how he works. And so what happens is we have to retrain the way in which we think. We have to say, God, I'm going to go to you to meet my needs. I'm not going to look for the people around me to meet my needs. Whatever they do is icing on the cake. Whatever they do is great and fantastic, but ultimately I know that you're the one who can ultimately meet my need. And so we have to retrain the way in which we think. He goes on in Proverbs to say this, keep away from angry people, or keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. Here's another way in which we need to train the way in which we think. You ready for this? It's okay not to have some people in your life. Listen, you will never be able to sustain, handle an anger correctly unless you set healthy boundaries. And a healthy boundary is what you determine that you will allow and what you won't allow. And we don't think that way. And we have to think that way. Keep away from angry, short-tempered people. You know what he's saying here? He's saying set a boundary. Set a boundary. And that's a training in the way in which we think. So we need to retrain our mind. Let me give you this last one on how you and I can handle our anger. And it's the most important one. If you don't have this one right here, none of the others will be able to be sufficient in helping you. And that is this: rely on God. We got to rely on God. I've got to rely on God to change me and to transform me and to be able to make me into that man, that person that he wants me to be. And how do I rely on God? Well, Paul would say in Colossians this, you are complete in him. See, I have to realize that I am complete in Christ, because why do we get angry? Because of unmet needs, unfulfilled expectations. And we think if you'll fulfill that expectation and if you'll meet that need, then I will be what? Complete. And so we look from other people to have their acceptance and their approval. And what he says here is you're complete in him. And how do we continue this on a day-to-day basis? Because we're dealing with this powerful emotion. Well, the psalmist would write this, reverence for the Lord gives confidence and security to a man and his family. And so what happens is we have reverence for God. We focus on God. He who keeps his mind on me, I will keep in perfect peace. So I rely on God. And when I rely on God, guess what he gives me? He gives me confidence and he gives me security. You show me a person who feels confident and secure, and I'll show you a person who handles their anger appropriately. So we rely on God. To what? To change us. To change what? To change my heart and your heart. You see, Jesus said it like this. He said, whatever is in your heart determines what you will say. So what happens is when I get angry, what happens is it's coming from my heart. It's there. It lives there. It lives there. And David understood this. And so David cried out to God in Psalms 51. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And you know what God says? Here's what God says if you and I will cry out this prayer. He says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. Anybody here need a new heart? Anybody here need help in handling your anger? Some of us here are very angry. We've come in here very angry. And you know what? It's cost us dearly. And the only way that you're ultimately going to be able to handle it appropriately, same way with me, is to be able to rely on God and to be able to say, God, you know what? Create in me a clean heart. Give me a new heart and a new spirit within me. And when we do that, God will begin to work in your heart and in my heart. And he will begin to empower you and equip you to be able to handle anger appropriately. And it all comes back to one word, and it's trust. Will I trust God to meet my needs? Will I trust God to fulfill his purpose in my life? David said it like this, in God I have put my trust, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, I'm going to trust in God. And when you and I trust in God, it's amazing the peace that he brings to our life. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for your great love. And today, God, we need help. And we admit that we have a challenge with our anger. We allow people to push our buttons. And we have a tendency to want to get even. We have a tendency to speak before we think. And today, we're asking for your help. Today, we want to trust in you. And so I pray that you would help us to realize any unresolved anger in our life. I pray that we would resolve to manage it, and that you would help us to remember the cost of when we handle our anger inappropriately. I pray, God, that you would give us the discipline to reflect before responding, so that we'll be able to release anger in an appropriate way, and that it can be constructive and not destructive. I pray that you would help us to retrain our mind and to realize that in you we're complete, and that you will meet our greatest needs. So, God, we thank you that we're created in your image, and we want to be like you, and we want to handle our anger appropriately. So help us to trust in you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.